Thank you very much, Chairman, for your kind introduction and indeed for setting the scene for us. I simply want to share, to contribute to the discussion, to share some experience at both the micro level and the macro level. The micro being as chief scientific advisor for 5 years to the government of a small country of about 5 million people. And the macro level is a certain amount of international experience, but more recently, and indeed going back quite a number of years, involvement with the European Union's evolving science policy and science implementation. Now, the theme here is science for policy making, and the sense of perspective that scientists have is generally kind of rooted in their many decades of work as scientists in their own sphere and with the sense of contributing to something that's a continuing stream of evolving knowledge. In other words, there's very little limitations on the time horizon, and there's also a great focus on the job in hand, and therefore most scientists come to the notion of policy with a very, very restricted viewpoint. But the main division, I think, between and if there is a division, but it's a different perspective of a working scientist involved in policy advice and the politicians who have to actually develop advice, is the issues essentially are ultimately financial, and because policy is delivered through taxes and budgets. And taxes and budgets are essentially the instruments that politicians have to implement policy. And within those general parameters, the issues really are, as regards science, public investment in science, is how much is appropriate, because there are competing claims on budgets. And secondly, and it's a different issue but related, is for what purposes. Now, in a very general sense, those are self-evident. But there's also another difference in perspective, and that's the time horizon. And scientists who work for a career perspective, and indeed for an intergenerational perspective in their work with their colleagues, very often don't have an appreciation that the decision-making of the politicians has to be essentially from one election to another. So it's normally on something like a 5 or 6 year cycle. So the time horizons are very different. And that means that it's quite difficult at that interface between those who have the knowledge about where science is going and what it can contribute, and those who have to actually take the decisions that translate ideas into policy. There is a difference in time horizon, there's a difference in perspective. So one of the things we've had to learn, those of us who have, in a sense, made the leap from practicing science into contributing to science policy, is to get an appreciation of the realities of political life. And the realities of annual budget making are that the bulk of it is nothing to do with science directly. If you take the big three in normal budgets, and this is national or indeed sometimes international, health, social supports, and education take up about 3/4 of the taxable and spendable resources. And the science investment, in fact, is part of the remaining quarter. And in most countries, it's of the order of 1% of annual budgets. Now, the European Union, of course, more than a decade ago, reached a general consensus on called the Lisbon Agenda for science in Europe. And the reality is that that was supposed to be delivered within a decade. Here we are a decade and a half beyond it, and we're still well short of it. And the reason for that, essentially, is the exigencies of the crisis in the intervening period. So in Ireland, we've had the same. I mean, we've had As an example of a small country, we've certainly had a commitment to science driven by the perception that it is also a driver of general welfare in society and particularly of economic development. And one of the great arguments that that exercises scientists is whether that's driving the moving front of science into away from the advancement of knowledge for its own sake and knowledge for its utility in society into simply harnessing it to profitability of companies and solvency of the country. So that's one of the very live arguments, and to some extent it's a very sterile argument because of the different perspectives on both sides. If we look at the effect of science, public investment in science, therefore, has to exist within the constraints that are part of political life. And the constraints in recent years have been a universal recession period, stronger in some countries than in others. And if you look at the OECD tracking of public investment in science, you can see that of 19 countries that have reported their public science investment over that period, 12 have actually reduced the actual volume of their public science investment. So we're in a slightly recessionary period in public science investment. The second broad issue, then, if you move beyond that, is the purposes for which science is directed. And again, driven to some extent by recession, you can find a shift towards more explicit direction towards economic goals. And the pattern here in Europe is that three countries out of the European pool now have about 40% of their public investment directed at explicit economic goals. Can I move on very quickly and briefly to the wider picture? The European Union, of course, has a supranational budgetary position, and it's encouraging to note that despite recession, in fact, in the most recent commitment, which is a seven-year commitment, that they have greatly increased the amount which will be devoted to science, not just to science within the Commission, but science in the member countries. The European Commission, on behalf of the 28 countries in the European Union, spends about 10% of the public money devoted to science. 90% is spent in national budgets. And of the 10% that's actually spent through Brussels, 95% is actually recycled to member countries and spent in their institutions. So you can say that even though we have a federal structure here in Europe, in fact, very little of it is in fact spent centrally. And my final point, Mr. Chairman, is that central spend of 4% of the European Union's commitment to science is spent in an institution that my colleague, Dr. Shuka, is Director General of, called the Joint Research Centre, and I've been privileged to be involved in a review of that institution in recent times. And we can pursue that if you wish later on, but it is a special purpose institution that's relatively little known to the public, even to the political public in Europe, but we found it to be fit for purpose and basically doing a good job.
Thanks, Chairman. Thanks, Paddy.